the incarnation of Jesus is intimately connected with the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Were it not for the fact that Jesus was incarnate, were it not for the fact that He took onto Himself flesh and blood, there would be no Lord's Supper. We partake spiritually this morning in the body and blood of Christ. That is a result of the incarnation. So this morning, once again, I hope that we can find a sense of wonder, a sense of awe in the fact that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that He was born of a virgin. It's an amazing story. We read about the angel Gabriel being sent from God. Gabriel sent to the small town of Nazareth to a virgin named Mary. And even at that, we read over that so quickly. An angel was sent. An angel was sent! Gabriel sent from God to speak to someone on earth. Already the context of the story is miraculous. Does it happen today? We don't see it happening today. No angel came and spoke to me this past week, or perhaps you either. We read over the story so casually, but it's an amazing story. God sent the angel Gabriel to a small town, to Nazareth, to speak to Mary. And He comes to her and He says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Wow. An angel comes. "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary is amazed. The text says, greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." What an incredible message. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. And yet that wasn't all of the message. There was more to come. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus." You shall conceive and bear a son, and call Him Jesus. For most, if not all, unmarried women, the news that you will have a child is not a sign of God's favor. It's not a sign of God's blessing. In fact, often evidence of disobedience. But not in this case. In this case, this unmarried woman, this virgin, receives news which to any other woman would be bad news. You're going to have a child. But for Mary, it is a blessing. No wonder she has to be told a couple times, "Don't be afraid, you're the favored one. You have found favor with God." This amazing news comes to her. You will bear a son. Imagine what that would do to Mary's standing in the community. Nazareth was a small town, smaller than Sioux Center. This is Ireton, okay? That's the type of town we're talking about. And the news of one of the unmarried girls going to have a child, what that would do to her reputation in the community, what people would think about her, the effect on her relationship with those around her, the effect on her relationship with Joseph, having to go to him, her betrothed, her engaged, and tell him that she's expecting a child, and he knows it is not his. The fear that must have been in Mary's heart And yet God, through the angel, reminds her again. He takes this what would be for anyone else terrible news and says, you are favored. You are blessed. You have found favor with God. You have been chosen to conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he shall be called Jesus. And to encourage her, the angel says, I'm going to give you a sign. You have a relative, Elizabeth, and she, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And she's in her sixth month. Her cousin Elizabeth was older than she was. And beyond that, she was barren, having no children. And to encourage Mary in this news she just received, she hears of another miraculous birth. Different than hers, but similar to hers. Miraculous. And miraculous in the line of God's dealing with women in the Old Testament. There were others in the history of the Old Testament, and Mary would know this history, who had these visitations of angels and special children. We think of Sarah, one who is too old, like Elizabeth, too old. But Sarah, in her old age of 90 years, would bear a child. A reminder to Mary that it is possible. It has happened. We think of Hannah, who was Samuel's mother, one who was barren, like Elizabeth. But she too would have a son. Mary is given this sign of Elizabeth, your relative. She also has conceived. As God has worked in the past, with the reminder that nothing will be impossible for God. Nothing impossible. You, Mary, a virgin, will conceive, will have a son. It will be a sign of God's favor, God's blessing. Because nothing will be impossible for God. What a miracle. What a wonder. That this news delivered by Gabriel himself, by this glorious angel, comes to Mary, news that would frighten and shudder anyone else, is the news of God's blessing and the news of God's favor. And when Mary hears that nothing will be impossible with God, she responds, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. In this impossible situation, Mary submits to the will of God, knowing that nothing will be impossible for Him. The miracle of the birth of Jesus, that He was born of a virgin, that He was born of this one, this unmarried one. The message delivered by an angel, you are favored. You are chosen. Do not be afraid. And her response, let it be to me according to your word. A birth that had never happened like this before and will never happen again. A one and only miraculous birth. A child born of a virgin. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary, in this encounter with the angel, asks the question, asking, how can this be since I am, a virgin? How can it be? And the angel says in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will be the one who is involved in the conception of Jesus. And I guess if we reflect on that just a bit, perhaps that shouldn't surprise us as much. The Holy Spirit has always been a creative force.
already in creation. In the Genesis story, we read about the Spirit there acting in creation. In the poetic account of the creation story in Psalm 104, it speaks about the Spirit's work in creation. The Spirit is a creative force. We hear about the artisans in the temple and tabernacle being anointed with the Spirit. It's a creative thing that the Spirit does. And yet now the Spirit will focus that creativity not on creation in general, but on one person, on Mary in particular. The Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Spirit will be involved in your life, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Holy, the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and therefore Jesus is that Holy Child of God. Our confession says that the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took to Himself, through the working of the Holy Spirit, from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, a truly human nature, that He might become David's true descendant in all things like His brothers, except for sin. He took to Himself, through the working of the Holy Spirit, from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, a truly human nature. Jesus was truly human. He really was the Son of Mary. He really was born of a virgin with real flesh and blood. We celebrate that this morning. But He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He will be called Holy, the Son of God. He was perfect and without blemish, like us in every way, except without sin. What a miracle that Jesus would come and be Son of Mary and Son of God, truly flesh and blood, but truly holy, righteous. What a miracle, because that was exactly who we needed to save us from our sins. That was exactly who we needed to come and be our advocate with the Father. One who was truly like us. We read earlier in the Catechism that the fact the mediator has to be truly human. For God will punish humanity for the sins of humanity. He had to have flesh and blood. No other one would do. If Jesus only appeared human, if He was only God, He was not qualified to save us, but He was born of a virgin. And yet He remains true and eternal God, conceived of the Holy Spirit, holy, the Son of God, the one perfectly righteous, the one who could withstand the wrath of God in our place. Miraculous. Jesus Christ comes, the exact one that we need. One with the perfect qualifications. No other one would do. Jesus Christ comes. And the miracle that He is born of a virgin, that He is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that on our behalf. Mary is told, this child, this one, Son of the Most High, the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end. He will be called great, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. He would grow to be king. A king like David. David, the pinnacle of the monarchy in the Old Testament. David, the finest king that ever was. David, the one that every king would aspire to be like. Oh, if only I could be like David. And Mary is told, this one, this Son of the Most High, God will give him the throne of his father David. This child,
born of an unwed mother. No earthly father. This child. The message comes to Nazareth, an insignificant city. Jesus born in Bethlehem, a small town. And yet he would rise to sit on David's throne. And he would reign over the house of Jacob forever. He would be king. King not only over the land of Palestine, where David had ruled so many years earlier. Not only over the house of Jacob, where they had dwelt so many years earlier. But of his kingdom, there will be no end. It speaks not so much of a physical kingdom here on earth, but an eternal kingdom and a spiritual kingdom. That this one would grow to rule and to reign over all creation. A kingdom that would have no end. This is the King. This is the One. This Son of God. The ruler and the King over all creation. And it is this King that we celebrate this morning. It is this King that had the miraculous birth. Born of a virgin. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. It is this King whose flesh and blood is spiritually before us this morning, and who welcomes us to come to the table, who welcomes us to partake of His body and blood, and to be strengthened for service in that kingdom. Oh, the miracle of the Incarnation. A story we have heard again and again and again. But a story of greatest significance. A story that highlights the humanity of Christ. He was flesh and blood, like us in every way, sin excepted. And He was holy, the Son of God, without blemish. Able to keep all the law, all righteousness perfectly. Able to withstand the judgment of God put out on the cross. And all of that on our behalf. That we might be welcomed today to the table of the Lord. That we might be welcomed to this dinner in the kingdom. That we might be welcomed to come and to take and eat. To take and drink. To spiritually be nourished by the eternal King over all creation. Amazing. Miraculous. That God, through very ordinary, regular, visible means, encourages our faith. The Spirit is still active. The Spirit is still creative in His power. Encouraging us in our faith. As we partake in faith. The Spirit is still active in taking hearts of stone and changing them to hearts of flesh. As the Word of God goes out, as the call to faith and repentance, put your faith in this Jesus Christ. And as that Word goes forth, the Spirit continues to work today. And He changes those hearts and He softens them to where we are compliant to the Word of God. Miraculous. Amazing. That God continues to work in us. That He continues to dwell in us by the power of that very same Spirit to change our hearts, to change our lives, to conform us into the image of His Son, and strengthens us for that task at the table of the Lord. We celebrate today the incarnation of Jesus. We are here because He was incarnate. If He was only spiritual, there is no bread and wine. There is no body and blood. But He was born of a virgin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And His kingdom lasts forever. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we praise you and we thank you for the glorious message of your Son, Jesus Christ. That his entrance into the world was a perfect entrance. That he was exactly who he needed to be, and that in our behalf. Lord God, may we never cease to be amazed at what you have done for us. May we never cease to marvel at the incarnation. A wonderful demonstration of your grace and of your mercy directed toward us. O Lord God, accept our praise and accept our thanks. We pray in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.